Now we're going to have our Bible reading, and I think Kathy's going to bring that.
Our reading today comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, and that can be found on page 1063. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Thank you, Kathy. Julie didn't know where to turn. Here she was, 16 years old, pregnant, out of wedlock, with some tough decisions to make and some very rough days ahead of her. If only God would tell her what to do. Then there's John. John feels that he's been called to ministry. His friends have been encouraging, as well as his wife. But can he really make such a drastic career change in midlife? He wishes and prays that God would give him a clear understanding. Rob was widowed a year and a half ago. His wife meant everything to him. The world just doesn't seem the same to him anymore. It is as if reality has somehow clouded up on him. He gets up every morning thinking of breakfast and conversation, but there's no one to talk to. Everything in the house is a reminder of the 54 years of companionship and love that they shared together. Sometimes he wonders if God really cares about him anymore. And then there's you. Perhaps you too are waiting for a word from God this morning. There are decisions to make, bills to pay, dirty laundry waiting to be washed. These are just the frivolous things. But in the midst of your everyday life, whether it is because of a struggle or an inner conflict, or even in the midst of joy, you desire a word from God. Dare we ask, does God have a word for us this morning? John, the writer of the gospel that we've just heard Kathy read part of this morning, says that God does. And God says it through his Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Theologians call the doctrine of God's Word to us the Incarnation. It is the great historical event when God became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. This doctrine of the Incarnation is central to our faith, and it's a word that we need to hear. Just remind ourselves the beginning of the reading. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The beginning of our text talks of something very profound. He speaks of Jesus before he became Jesus. The second person of the Trinity in eternity. The Word of God. Be sure of this. Before Jesus' incarnation, as a man, or boy I should rather say, or as an infant at first, he was eternal God, part of the Trinity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The written word, in our Bibles, is actually from the Greek word logos, which can be translated word, but also means idea or concept. Sometimes it's quite hard to translate these things into English. But logos in the Greek had these components to them. Jesus is the very idea of God. The very concept of God. God spoken to the universe in an intelligible way is perhaps a good way to put it. It is a word that we need to hear. I once heard about a wealthy man who lived in the posh outskirts of London. Towards the back of his garden, there was a huge floodlit swimming pool. And in this swimming pool was a shark. It was obviously salt water. Swimming pool. This rich man loved to throw lavish dinner parties and would invite his guests up and around the pool afterwards. Then he would say to them, "If any of you will swim a length of this pool, I will give you one of three things. £10 million, half of my estate, or the hand of my daughter in marriage," pausing before warning them that there was a shark in the pool. One evening, as he was telling his guests this, there was a splash. And a man, very nicely dressed, ready for the dinner afterwards, began to swim very, very quickly. The entire length of the pool, he was swimming quickly because he was being chased by the shark. He got out of the pool just in time, just before the shark clattered against the end of the swimming pool. The rich banker said, "Congratulations, you're the first person who has ever done that. Now what would you like? Would you like the £10 million? "No, thank you," he said. "Would you like half my estate?" "No, thank you," he says. "Ah, then you must want the hand of my daughter in marriage." The exasperated man said, "No, thank you." "Well, what do you want then?" "I want the name of the person behind me who pushed me in." You know, identity. Identity matters, you know? Now, we may not know what God looks like in a physical sense, even if there are some very old drawings and paintings on walls of Jesus, not too long after his ministry years, in hidden caverns and things called catacombs, like underneath Rome, where the early Christians would actually hide. They would actually hide and worship there, but they would also draw these pictures, and they would also be buried there as well. It's an amazing place. They say there are hundreds and hundreds, maybe even thousands of miles of catacombs underneath Rome, dug by Christians as they were escaping persecution. In a very different world to now. But you know, things can change quickly in the world. But anyway, I don't want to dwell on that too much this morning, except that their artwork was pretty bad. And they really haven't discovered fine art yet, have they? So we really don't know what exactly Jesus looked like physically. I think the bottom one is probably, I won't even mention that, okay. But, you know, it wasn't actually the art that mattered, was it? And it wasn't really what Jesus looked like as a person that really, really matters. No, of course not. You know, in the Bible tells us what Jesus was like in other ways. You know, as we consider the incarnation, the act of God coming to us in human flesh, we learn through the Bible records that God characterized his time with us in profound ways, you know, revealing God's heart and God's mind to us. That is God's identity that really matters for us. Because Nazareth means lily, the new church of the Annunciation in Nazareth has a steeple that resembles a lily. That's the flower. But it's an upside down lily. So if you look up to the top there, in that second picture, you can see its mouth open, pointing downwards. And it is done that way to suggest God pouring himself out. Yeah? There's the idea of God pouring himself out to us, to humankind, to you and me, and creation as well. John 3:16 sums up God's nature very, very succinctly. It isn't absolutely everything, but it's the core. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. Time and time again in the life of Jesus, we are made aware of this pouring out aspect of God. The rich young man, I don't know if you remember the story, the rich young man came to Jesus seeking the key for eternal life. The man rejected Jesus. But we learn from Jesus that Jesus had compassion on him. Jesus looked at him and loved him. We read in the Gospels of the compassion and love of Jesus time and time again on the most pitiful, afflicted, the most desperate of people. And when he came down for the cross, Jesus' love for us did not waver, but he poured out his love for us then as well, paying a ransom for many, paying the price for our sins to make us right before God and allowing us to have a living relationship with a living God. This is a real love as well. It's not the here today, gone tomorrow type. It's solid. It's deep. It's eternal. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord." Wow. Powerful words, aren't they? You know, when you're going through difficult times in the days ahead, and all of us will, read the Word. We've heard about the Word earlier. Read that verse to encourage you. You know, God is with us. Nothing can separate us from God's love. I lost my mother recently. She died. She died, happily I can say, in Christ. She knew him. She accepted him. And I don't know how much she trusted him in those last moments, but I know that she did. I know that she looked to him. And I know that God loves us. And God keeps us in his hand safe. And God will keep you safe in the days ahead. Might not always be easy, but he'll always be there with you. And nothing can spoil that. Nothing can take you out of God's hand. Once he's claimed you, once you have said, "Lord, take me. Be my Lord." Right? My mother did just a couple of weeks ago. Nothing can take you out of God's hand. That's for good. God's word in the flesh. Jesus calls down to us through the ages, and the phrase that is repeated time and time again is, "I love you." There is another word that God wants us to hear this morning, and it is, "I want the best for you." John writes in verse 4, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men." God wants for us to have the best. And the best in life is intimacy with him. You know, if we try and save ourselves, that is, if we try to live selfish lives, a kind of a death takes over. It really does. That's why it says that there is a way that seems right to man or to people, but you know, it leads to death. In following Christ, however, our life takes on a new and meaningful existence. Because of his life, the light that he brought into the world, it becomes our light. We find ourselves being transformed into God's very image, the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And we're not talking about physicality here. We've dealt with that, haven't we? We're talking about how God was in Jesus. And you know, Jesus' life becomes more and more our life if we allow him to work inside us by his Holy Spirit. We have to be willing to allow God to work inside us, though. You know, God's a gentleman. And, you know, there's that picture of God tapping on the door, asking to come in. And, you know, in some ways, it's not a once-only event there. God's always tapping at the door. God's always asking to come in. God wants a relationship with us. You know, God wants a relationship. He wants us to call him in. He wants us to open up our lives to him. God could, if he wants, barge his way. He could. And at times, maybe he does. But he wants us to be in relationship with him. So, if you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, even now, God is working deep and true in your soul, preparing you now, but also preparing you for eternity as well. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, or you'd like to know him more, that's what I'd recommend, of course. You know, I can't stand here this morning, and all of us here, or many of us here, you know, love the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is obvious. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, or you'd like to know him more, do that. He's just a prayer away. Read God's word. Talk to people. Ask for help. Ask God. And he will be true to you in that. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. Taylor was a lovely, lively character in the young people's group at church. Once asked, he once asked one of the group leaders if he was a child of God. They were probably having some children's lesson about being a child of God. And he said, "Am I a child of God?" "Why, of course you are, Taylor," the leader replied. He looked puzzled and responded, "Well, I better go home and tell Mum and Dad because they think I'm theirs." We are children of God, you know. It's a wonderful thing when we accept Jesus Christ, we become part of his family. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. God is telling us he wants the very best for us. There is nothing better than being adopted into his family. As the text says, our adoption papers are signed, essentially they say, they are signed when we place our trust in the name of Jesus. God's coming to earth in flesh was for the express purpose of giving us this offer of adoption. C.S. Lewis explained it like this: the Son of God becomes a man to enable man to become sons of God. And that includes all of us. Yeah. God is offering men and women, young children, older people, to become children of God. The really great thing is that life lived through the faith in God is the best life. This really is deep living, you know? With every day, new challenges, and there'll be new opportunities. Living in vital communication with the eternal. This is what we were made for. You know, God doesn't call us to, oh, we've got to walk such a straight path, we've got to be really careful, follow all these rules and regulations, and then eventually we're going to get past the finishing line, and it's going to be amazing in heaven. Yeah, it will be amazing in heaven. Yeah? There is a bit of a truth to that. But as we go on that journey, God wants us to live life to the full. He really does. He doesn't want you to mess out. Miss out. Mess out perhaps is a better word, actually, isn't it? God doesn't want us to miss out on what we can be in him. You know? He doesn't. And it's an exciting life. The Christian life, you cannot get more exciting than that. It's like the spiritual equivalent of a gifted athlete discovering that they can run like the wind. God's word to us today is, I want the best for you. Then there's one more word that God would like to speak to us this morning, I believe. This word is perhaps the most important of all. God is with us. In verse 14 it says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. I've got another story. I've been doing quite a bit of stories and illustrations this morning. Well, this isn't a comical one. This is a story, and it's a true story of an elderly man who was ill. And I will actually read it. I've read it a few times, but I'm not overly familiar with it. So I'll just reread it to you. Please bear with me with that. So there was this elderly man who was ill, and the family called for their minister. As he entered the sick room and sat down, he noticed another chair on the opposite side of the bed, a chair that had been pulled close. The pastor said, "Well, Donald, I see that I'm not your first visitor for the day." The elderly man looked up, was puzzled for a moment, then recognized from the nod of the head that the pastor had noticed the empty chair. "Well, Pastor, I'd tell you about that chair. Many years ago, I found it quite difficult to pray. So one day, I shared this problem with my pastor. He told me not to worry about kneeling or about placing myself in some pious posture. Instead, he said, just sit down, put a chair opposite you, and imagine Jesus sitting in it. Then talk with him as you would a friend." The aged Scot then added, "I've been doing that ever since." A short time later, the daughter of the man called the pastor. When he answered, he was told that her father had died very suddenly, and she was quite shaken, for she had no idea that death was so near. Then she continued, "I had to just go lie down for an hour or two, for he seemed to be sleeping so comfortably, and I missed it. When I came back, he was dead." Then she added thoughtfully, "Except now, his hand was on the empty chair at the side of the bed. Isn't that strange?" The minister said, "No, it's not so strange. I understand." Famous Christian and leader John Calvin had the idea that God intimately communicates Christ to us by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ doesn't have to physically be here for us to experience the life of Jesus in an intimate way. God's Holy Spirit communicates that to us. Here, we see that God is right by our side, seeing us through, encouraging us, and constantly affirming his purpose to be our companion until the end of the age and beyond. The promise of God through Christ is that even in the worst time, you know, we are never alone. He's Emmanuel, God with us, for all who believe. God's word to us is this: I am with you. In your difficult times, in your sad times, in your good times, I am there for you and always will be, he says. One of the reasons Christians all, I will be a little bit serious here and bring it down a little bit. I hate to do this, but one of the reasons Christians often fall short in their spiritual life is that they lose sight of this truth. You know, they miss out on this power, blessing, guidance, and strengthening that there is. If only we would quieten ourselves at times and realize that God is there, wanting to do all these things and knowingly live in his presence. How often do we go through situations? We're human, aren't we? Don't feel too bad about it. But how often do we do that? Do we go through our lives, our day-to-day activities, and just forget that God is with us? We're going through something difficult at work. Oh no, this is so stressy. Hey, God is with me. Someone's been horrible to you. You know, God loves me. God is here. God's presence is with us. We need to appreciate that and realise that and live and remember that he's there. And your lives will be blessed more because of that. So I'd like to encourage you to do that more and more this morning, not just this morning, but in the days ahead, for the rest of this week, hey, for the rest of your lives, but I'm sure that we'll forget occasionally. But hey, you know what? That's okay as well, because God's grace covers all things. And God knows our weaknesses and our needs, as well as our strengths, you know? He chose us for a reason. He didn't choose us because we were perfect. He chose us because he loves us. And he knows that within us is a seed that will grow to be a child of God for eternity. So does God have a word? Does God have a word for us this morning? Does God have a word for the world this morning? He does. It is God's divine, eternal communication to us, embodied in the person of Jesus, the Logos, the Word of God. God spoke his word clearly, but not loudly. He spoke it plainly, but quietly. It was spoken in humility, but would profoundly affect the whole world. If you are waiting for the shout, you may miss the whisper. It is God's word to you this morning.